28. The Quandary. Octavia clutched the telegram to her chest. Mona was alive. Alive! She whirled around her room, dancing, holding out the piece of paper as though it were her prince, dancing with her at a royal ball. He lives! My little Modo lives! She'd spent most of the previous day on the ocean with Captain Angrimer and his small crew of drunkards, on a creaking, cracking fishing boat he'd named Hal Gerda. It was a paddle steamer with a motor that, barking and coughing, drove the spinning paddles. But it stayed afloat, and for a man whose blood must be half rum, the captain could sail, Octavia admitted. But they had found nothing, and had to return at dark. That night, she'd come to the only conclusion that had seemed possible. She was searching for a body. She'd bring him back to England and bury him in British soil, at least. Now, all those dark thoughts, that sadness, had been for nothing. Mr. Socrates had received a message directly from Modo, and from a submarine ship at that. What else could have clipped the anchor from the Hugo or smashed holes in ships? She and Modo had talked about there being a slim chance that such a ship could exist. Modo had somehow stolen his way onto one. Clever Modo. She shook her head in wonderment, then closed her eyes. Modo was alive. She wiped tears from her cheeks. Mr. Socrates had instructed her to stay in the boarding house at Reykjavik and wait for him. He'd promised to be there with a frigate within the next 2 days. And so she climbed to her room on the top floor of the lodging house and sipped her tea as she stared out the window at the darkened ocean. Ships moved in and out of port, their lights glimmering in the distance. "This waiting will drive me batty," she thought, "absolutely batty." But Mr. Socrates had told her to wait. She drummed her fingers on the windowsill and hummed softly to herself.